Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, December 7th, 2015. Here are our top stories.
Tonight.
To begin with, Congress should act to make sure no one on a no-fly list is able to buy a gun. What could possibly be the argument for allowing a terrorist suspect to buy a semi-automatic weapon?
President Obama advocates no-fly, no-gun buy. Meanwhile, it's revealed that 72 DHS members are on terror watch list. Then, a look back at Pearl Harbor. After that, how terror attacks are being used to suppress internet freedom. And Dr. Steve Pachinik on the San Bernardino murders. That's next.
They've been having a shooting drill in the center of where disabled veterans and others were living, and having it on a monthly basis. So that really was number one, and that's one flag. Number two, you...
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Today is the 74th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. There was an excellent article on the New American. Pearl Harbor, Hawaii was surprised, but FDR wasn't. But here's what FDR had to say when he addressed Congress.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed their opinions and well understand the implications to the very life and safety of our nation.
Now, in that clip, you heard FDR say the facts speak for themselves. It wasn't as simple as many people understood at the time. As a matter of fact, he said, Americans have seen the facts, and they now know what to do. They had seen what FDR wanted them to see. And, of course, FDR had seen far more, had done far more than the American people knew to cause this. When we talk about this being a false flag, I just want to make it clear to Rachel Maddow, I'm not suggesting that FDR was flying planes and dropping bombs on the ships. I'm not suggesting that he was standing on the shore with a plunger, blowing them up. No, this is a long pattern of activity. This is one type of false flag that I believe has parallels to what Obama is doing right now with the massive numbers of people that he's bringing in from all these different countries, especially from the jihadi countries, opening the border, importing Islamic radicals into this country. I believe this is precisely the type of thing that was done by FDR. And I want to look at this article for many of you who don't remember the details, and there's some excellent details. This is a very detailed article by James Perloff in the New American talking about the lead up to World War II and at Pearl Harbor. And as he points out, comprehensive research has shown that not only did Washington know in advance of the attack, but it deliberately withheld that foreknowledge from our commanders in Hawaii in the hope that the surprise attack would catapult the U.S. into World War II. Oliver Littleton, British Minister of Production, stated in 1944, Japan was provoked into attacking America at Pearl Harbor. It is a travesty of history to say that America was forced into the war. He said that in 1944. Now, to go on, Roosevelt had continually told the American people that he did not want to get them involved in a war. They were still very angry that they'd been brought into a war without any reason in World War I by Woodrow Wilson on the side of the British. They did not want to see that repeated. The Germans did not want to see that repeated either. in spite of numerous provocations from FDR to try to get the Germans to attack, and we'll talk about some of those, they stayed back. They knew what that would mean, but the Japanese took the bait. And we're going to tell you exactly how that broke down. We're going to take a look at the parallels to what's going on today between cryptography then, between the NSA now, what they knew, what they were telling the leaders, and how they compartmentalized that information, opened up the borders, literally, in the case of Pearl Harbor, Ford stationing the fleet into a very precarious, undefensible position, bottling them up into that small harbor, and then standing down as they knew the Japanese were ready to do that. Let me read you some of the other information that's here in this report. They point out even Robert Sherwood, the president's friendly biographer, said, if the isolationists had known the full extent of the secret alliance between the U.S. and Britain, their demands for impeachment would have rumbled like thunder throughout the land. Now, some of these were exposed in 1940 when Tyler Kent, a code clerk at the U.S. Embassy in London, discovered secret dispatches between Roosevelt and Churchill. These revealed that FDR, despite what he was saying politically and openly, was determined to engage America in the war on the side of the British. Kent smuggled some of the documents out of the embassy, hoping to alert the American public. Does this sound like Ed Snowden? Does this sound like Manning? Precisely the same sort of thing. And look what happened. He was caught. With U.S. government approval, he was tried in a secret British court. He was confined to a British prison until the war's end. Now, what did the president do to try to provoke Germany into attacking the United States? Here's some of the things he did. He freezed German assets. He shipped 50 destroyers to Britain. He depth-charged U-boats. Still, the Germans said, we don't want America to have an excuse to come in on the side of the British. As Harold Ickes, Secretary of the Interior, said in October 1941, for a long time, I have believed our best entrance into the war would be by way of Japan. And, of course, that was 2 months earlier than the attack at Pearl Harbor. Robert B. Stinnett, a World War II Navy veteran, has obtained numerous relevant documents through the Freedom of Information Act, and some of these are reported in this very long article at New American. They point out Secretary of War Henry Stimson in October of 1941 wrote in his diary, we face the delicate question of the diplomatic fencing to be done so as to be sure that Japan is put into the wrong and makes the first bad move, the first overt move. He said the question was how we should maneuver them into the position of firing the first shot. Well, of course, back in 1940, Admiral Richardson, who was the fleet commander, flew to Washington. He protested FDR's decision to put the fleet in Hawaii instead of the normal berthing on the U.S. West Coast. Because why? That put them within range of the Japanese. It was also a very tight configuration. They were bottled up into that small harbor. Richardson said, I came away, after talking to FDR, I came away with the impression that despite his spoken word, the president was fully determined to put the U.S. into a war if Great Britain could hold out until he was reelected, and he was relieved of command. Now, here's a key parallel, and that is the prior knowledge through cryptography. They point out one of the most important elements of America's foreknowledge of Japan's intention was our government's success in cracking Japan's secret diplomatic code known as PURPLE. It was enciphered and deciphered by machine. But American cryptoanalysts had broken the code in 1940. They devised a facsimile of the Japanese machine, and they could read all of the Japanese dispatches. The deciphered texts were called MAGIC. That was their code name for it. And so in this article, they point out all of the different intercepts that they had, key intercepts going through Japanese communications. November 5th, November 11th, 16th, 29th, 30th. Listen to this on the 16th. The deadline was pushed to November 29th. Quote, after that, things are automatically going to happen. This is what the Japanese are communicating to each other internally. And the United States government knew this. They intercepted this. They had the ability to read their code, just as the NSA says that, well, yeah, we know that these guys were Islamic radicals, but we let them run around anyway, do whatever they want to. We knew that the whole time because nobody can fool us. They want to brag about how they know everything, but they never do anything about it. So are they lying to us or are they standing down precisely as we saw happen with Pearl Harbor? On November 30th, Tokyo ordered its Berlin embassy to inform the Germans that the breaking out of war may come quicker than anyone dreams. And then, just a week before the actual attack, December 1st, the Japanese embassies and non-Axis nations around the world were directed to dispose of their secret documents and all but one copy of their codes. Going on and on, and I won't read the entire article because there's a great deal of it here, but the bottom line is they created a commission just like we've had commissions investigating the JFK assassination or 9/11. And this particular commission, the people who were running it were the same ones who were running the stand-down operation. Roosevelt, General Marshall, those are the people who investigated themselves. That's what we see all the time. Now, when you look at what's happening in this country with the open borders, with the undeterred plans by Obama, even though he has absolutely no way to vet the people who are coming into this country, to bring in 100,000 a year, when they talk about 10,000, understand that is what they said is their floor. They want to bring in 100,000 people. What have they done? They've gone to these countries, they've created wars, they've created the conflict, they've created the refugees, and then they say the only solution to this is not to stop the war, not to help those refugees in country. The only solution to this is to bring the people who are justifiably hateful of us for what we have done to their country, bring them into the United States. Hopefully they will be radicalized, because that's precisely what they want. Now, the Republicans are calling on Obama, talking about how he cannot use the words radical Islam. Of course, he doesn't want to use those words. At the same time, he certainly understands what that is all about. Huckabee says, we were attacked. Can you imagine FDR saying, we were attacked yesterday in Pearl Harbor, but I really don't want to talk about who did it? Huckabee says, can you imagine FDR saying, we were attacked yesterday on Pearl Harbor, I really don't want to talk about who did it? Republicans are across the board. We're going to tell you some of them what they said. But, of course, understand it's not just Obama. Hillary, they point out, has said nothing at all. Bernie Sanders has agreed with Obama's points on resisting fear and division. Remember the Democrat debate where none of the three candidates could bring themselves to utter the word radical Islam. Huckabee goes on to say, well, who was it, Mr. President? Well, we don't want to get into it because I don't want you to have any bad feelings towards the Japanese. He's suggesting that's maybe the way, can you imagine FDR saying that? Ted Cruz also said FDR did not give a partisan speech. Rather, he called on Americans to unite and win through to absolute victory. And Donald Trump said, well, Obama refused to say, he just can't say it, that we are at war with radical Islamic terrorists. Fine. But understand that our government has created this conflict. Our government continues to prolong and extend this conflict. And our government is using this to conduct war against American citizens, war against our fundamental rights. The things that define this country are our respect for individual liberties, are making that a priority. And now they're using this to create fear and doubt and amongst the population, to clamor for safety to the government, thinking that only the government can save us. That's the danger in all of this. And the Republicans, even though they're pointing out the absurdity of Obama's position, they're playing this game as well. We need to not be stampeded like sheep into a situation where we give up everything that America is about and allow these people to establish an authoritarian regime. That is a greater danger, far greater danger than even the real Islamic terrorists that they are unleashing in our midst. That is a far greater danger. Now, to look at the absurdity of the fact that the government is going to protect us, and of course, just prior to Obama speaking on Sunday, a special announcement about that he had finally come to the conclusion that this was terror and some of the things that he wanted to do about it, everyone expected him to do gun control by executive order. The New York Times did a rare event where the entire editorial board put on the front page their opinion piece calling for gun control, saying that we needed to have the government protect us, and that when guns are in the hands of citizens, it only complicates the situation for law enforcement and it makes it more dangerous for them to deal with bad guys. Is that really what we want? Can we really trust the government when they have created a watch list that is in defiance of everything that we've had in this country as well as in English history going back to the Star Chambers of the Middle Ages? We thought we'd gotten rid of the idea that you could be accused in secret, that you could be found guilty in secret, that you would never be allowed to know the charges against you, that you could not confront your witnesses, that you would have your due process completely violated. And then they would use this finding that they had done in a star chamber, which is what? Putting people on a watch list without their knowledge. That's what this is about. Using that now, and this is going to be the first way that they would use it if they could get away with it. Using that star chamber watch list to take away people's Second Amendment rights. But look at this. 72 DHS employees are on the terror watch list. And this was put out by a Democrat, Representative Stephen Lynch, Democrat of Massachusetts, disclosed a congressional investigation recently found at least 72 people working at Homeland Security were also on the terror watch list. I mean, did they put them on there because, you stole Melvin's stapler? So he's going to, you know, like the office space where he's going to take you down because of that. They said back in August, we did an investigation. The inspector general did. The Department of Homeland Security had 72 individuals on the terror watch list that were actually working at Homeland Security. The former DHS director had to resign because of that, said the congressman. Lynch referred to a recent report that found the TSA, overseen by the DHS, failed to stop 95% of those who attempted to bring restricted items past airport security. There have been other recent studies that have shown that they failed 100% of the time. They completely missed being able to do that. So we cannot trust them for our safety. Nevertheless, we are told that we have to give up our gun rights. That is the current drumbeat from the liberals. And I have to look at this article headline from the Daily Mail. San Bernardino killers illegally modified their rifles to carry more ammo to fire bullets, but they made them full auto. They gave them larger magazines. And listen, they had a set of Christmas tree lights they used as bomb detonators. Why are we not seeing a call from the liberals to ban Christmas tree lights or to have background checks for Christmas trees before you can get them? I mean, that's the idiocy of all this. To make this about the tools rather than about the people that we need to be concerned about. Nevertheless, I have to go back and continue to say this. We do not want to have a situation where we give up our due process, our privacy, all of our rights to the government, including our right to protect ourselves. That is the one right that is absolutely essential. I'd much rather take my chances without any Homeland Security, without any militarized police, without any armored personnel cars or SWAT teams. I'd rather take my chance and have a free country. But maybe we can stop them from bringing the people into the country. One example of how dangerous this can be in terms of a false flag is a story that came from Judicial Watch. Five young Middle Eastern men were apprehended by U.S. Border Patrol this last week in an Arizona town. Two of them were carrying stainless steel cylinders and backpacks that alarmed the border officials so much they called Homeland Security. Maybe they got some of the guys that are on the terror watch list. Because what happened was when they got to the point, FBI as well as Homeland Security, they took information on three of the people, but two of them they took absolutely no information on. Typically what they do is they put them into the Border Patrol's E3 reporting system, collects, transmits biographic, biometric data, things like fingerprints and so forth. But the other two men were listed as, quote, unknown subjects. Never heard of, said a Judicial Watch federal source. He said, in all my years, I've never seen that before. Now, later in the show, we're going to have a clip from today's radio show with Alex Jones talking to Steve Pachinik. And he's going to talk about some anomalies in the San Bernardino shooting. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Joining me now is Leanne McAdoo. And Leanne, as I was talking about the attack on Pearl Harbor, of course, that was a literal attack. This attack in San Bernardino may have been like Pearl Harbor. We're going to hear from Steve Pachinik later. He thinks it was even more of a false flag. But of course, there is another kind of attack, and that's the attack on our rights. Talk about that. We mentioned briefly about how Obama, and everybody knows he was coming after the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. This is something he's always coming after, but there's also attacks on the First Amendment as well.
Right. And so this is, we saw this after 9/11, the exact same thing. They hate us for our freedoms, so we need to take them away from you mm-hmm. in order to protect us. It's for our personal safety. And so, yesterday at his speech in the Oval Office, Obama was kind of giving everyone, placating the U.S., letting them know how he's responding. And he's basically saying he's calling on Congress to tighten restrictions on visa-free travel to the U.S. He wants to restrict the public's access to encrypted communications that might defy surveillance, so no more tour and things like that. Prohibit people on the so-called no-fly list from being able to purchase guns. Curbing Americans' access to powerful assault weapons. And then, of course, calling on Congress to give the green light for this undeclared war against ISIS. So it's just more of the same. In order to protect you, I'm going to need to take away your rights. And so we're seeing him double down on the Second Amendment there, as well as the First Amendment.
Yes. And that's the thing I think is very interesting. We expect the Democrats to come after the Second Amendment. It's really amazing, though, to see Hillary as well as Obama coming after the First Amendment. And understand that the thing that separates America is our respect for individual rights and the fact that these are things that transcend government. That government was created, according to the Declaration of Independence, government is created to protect those rights. It doesn't grant those rights to us. It doesn't have the freedom to prescribe those rights. Those are basic fundamental things. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the right to keep and bear arms and defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it looks very much like France, where they're wanting to block internet encryption, right. Block Wi-Fi. They want to shut down Tor. They may do this by January. Mm. And, of course, they want to extend their emergency powers to February the 26th. Like, under their state of emergency, they can have warrantless searches. Well, we have that, and they haven't really formally declared a state of emergency. Put people under house arrest, seal the country's border, ban demonstrations, so forth and so right. on. And so we see the same types of things being floated by Obama's attorney general as well when she yeah. talks about hate speech. You know, I'm going to protect you Muslims against people who say things against you, even as they're not able to say that this was something that was attributable to Islam. So on the one right. hand, They won't say that this had anything to do with Islam, yet they will say, we're going to protect you from this.
Right.
Knowing that it has to do with it.
Right. And now, of course, she's had to sort of clarify herself, meaning, of course, you know, we punish people for deeds, not their actions. But we'll get into that even a little bit more of how we're already starting to see how people's speech, if they're conservative or whatever, how they're actually being blamed now for these terror attacks. And of course, you know, Hillary Clinton didn't waste any time blaming the GOP for these attacks as well. But, you know, just like after 9/11, we see as long as there is a terror threat anywhere at any time, no perceived actual imminent threat, people will be more concerned with their personal safety rather than their personal liberties. And they know this. This is why they never let a crisis go to waste. Homeland Security is introducing their new terror alert warning system. Now, the other older system is being replaced because they've never had to use it, because it depends upon a specific credible threat to the homeland, which there hasn't ever been this specific credible threat. Well, this new system has an intermediate threat level. It can be activated when there is no specific threat issued by the government, but there is supposed concern over copycat attacks. So they can just sort of raise this terror threat level whenever they want. As we know, they put that terror threat out there right the night of the 2004 elections. So obviously that has a psychological impact on the United States. People are going to be persuaded to vote a certain way or think a certain way if they feel that their personal safety is that a threat. We know this is one of the oldest tactics in the book.
Well, I think it's amazing when you go back and look at the TSA, the lawsuit by Corbett, the engineer. And as part of that lawsuit and part of his discovery, he was able to query the TSA on documents. They, by mistake, put up the unredacted answers. And we saw for a while, and we screenshotted it, you could see the redacted versus the unredacted. You could see that the TSA in 2011 said, there is no credible threat to airports or airplanes in 2011, as they were threatening to make Texas a no-fly zone if they couldn't put their hands on us and our children at the airport.
Wow.
Absolutely, totally ineffective, as I pointed out earlier in the segment, you know, how 95%, I would say, some of the studies that I've seen from the Inspector General, they were 100% ineffective in terms of catching deliberate tests of the TSA. So these are the people we're supposed to have protect us. And constantly using the fear and the uncertainty to hammer us to take away our freedom.
Right. And let's not forget that they actually did have some intel that there was an imminent threat on attack on the United States. And they ignored that. And of course, we all saw what happened on 9/11.
Yes.
Now, like we were talking about Lynch, she's had to come out and recalibrate her message on this hateful speech, saying, you know, of course, what I meant is that it's, you know, it's only speech that spurs action. Well, now we have a leftist journalist coming out of the New York Daily News. It's columnist Linda Stasi. Yes.
Yeah.
She is blaming one of the victims of the San Bernardino killers, saying that he was a hate-filled, he was a hate, basically hate-mongering, because he would post these things on Facebook. And this is what prompted Farouk to carry out this massacre. She was saying that they had engaged in heated arguments about religion and politics. And so she suggested that Falasinos was equally responsible for this attack.
Well, the difference is you can have a heated discussion on religion or politics. You can have a heated discussion between Republicans and Democrats. They don't typically pull out guns and knives and start cutting people's heads off. Okay.
Right. So
or same thing
nobody
about
gets
religion.
An argument with your family at Christmas dinner this year.
I mean, one of the differences is, let's face it, one of the differences about Islam is you don't have, in Christianity, you don't have the Baptists and the Methodists trying to kill each other over their religious differences. Okay.
Right.
That kind of thing happened 500 years ago, but it hasn't happened since then.
Exactly.
And yet, you know, just a slight tweaking of the doctrine of going from one faction of Islam to another causes that to happen.
Exactly. And so that's kind of the big issue with Lynch coming out saying, you know, we're going to prosecute people that have this speech that incites his hatred, because initially they were saying it could have been triggered by Christmas, or his coworkers were making fun of his beard. Things like that. So basically, you know, you can't have any of this language that can be seen as poking fun at a certain, you can't do political cartoons, things like
that.
I mean, this is the
political cartoon
America.
Is not provocation to kill somebody.
Right.
And having a discussion, a disagreement about religion or politics is not a provocation to kill people.
Exactly.
And when they say that, what they're doing is they're using political correctness to try to censor people. One of the things that I thought was very interesting was the fact that the NSA, they're listening to everyone, right? But now they're essentially throwing a temper tantrum, saying, we're not even going to give it to the FBI, the phone calls that we've intercepted from people, even with a search warrant now. So they collect all this information with warrantless searches. They store it, and they say, we're not even going to share it with the FBI, even when they get a search warrant for to investigate a crime like now. That's the kind of petulant manipulation, trying to get people to beg them to surveil us. Okay,
right.
That's what we see happening with this. This is how they're using this crisis.
Well, meanwhile, what did the NSA do to stop these attacks? Because they were their program was still working when these people were in contact with terrorist organizations who were under investigation by the FBI. So clearly, the NSA once again dropped the ball. Here we see this is surveillance.
If they dropped the ball, or if they did the same thing that they did in Pearl Harbor, as I pointed out, they had broken the cryptography of the Japanese. They knew precisely what was going on. For over a year, they were intercepting their communications, and they knew for months what they were planning on doing, and they kept it to themselves and particularly did not do anything so they could get the war they wanted.
Yeah, and that's why this whole sort of tyrannical just basically stopping any sort of speech and saying that you cannot speak derogatory in a derogatory fashion against someone's religion, particularly Islam. It's dangerous. So we have this guy, his Robert Kuttner. He is here on the Huff Post, and this is his opinion piece. But he says how ISIS and Trump enable each other. So he basically says anytime that Trump disparages Muslims who are not radicals, he increases the chances that some of those people will now turn into radicals. So
well, he might look at the fact that we're bombing their countries, that we've started wars there. And unless they have a legitimate gripe about that, and we have created that, I just don't want to see our government creating the crisis and then offering us one solution only for the humanitarian crisis that they created, and that is to import anyone that wants to, that they want to bring here without any kind of evaluation. Thank you, Leanne. Now, when we come back, we're going to have a clip from today's radio show. Steve Pachinik was a guest with Alex Jones, and he talks about how he sees the San Bernardino shootings as a total false flag. We'll be right back.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
Understand that it's not just Democrats who have trouble using the phrase radical Islam. John McCain said this, "I think it's an interesting effect of turning Muslims all over the world against the United States of America, which is 99.44% people who practice an honorable religion." And I guess my question would be, why would honorable Muslims be offended when we talk about radical Islam? I would think they would be just as offended as we are, if not more so, about people who they would think had hijacked their religion. But when he says 99.44%, think about that in terms of the number of people that Obama wants to bring in the country. 200,000 over the next 2 years. That would mean that 1,120 terrorists would be brought into this country. Those are the dangers that we face. Yet Steve Pachinik believes that it is something far more than these kind of provocative policies, similar to what FDR did in setting up Pearl Harbor. He thinks it was a full-out false flag. Here's what he had to say on the Alex Jones radio show earlier today.
The San Bernardino issue, I'm still not sure where it stands in terms of a false flag. Number one, it's very rare to have a standing shooting operation in an office where you have basically disabled individuals.
And by the way, it is incredible. They were having a live shooting drill. This is ABC News. They were having a shooting drill now when this reportedly happened.
Not only that, they've been having a shooting drill in the center of where disabled veterans and others were living and having it on a monthly basis. So that really was number one, an S1 flag. Number two, you had a woman who supposedly was in Pakistan, went to Saudi Arabia, was less than 100 pounds, being able to wear a vest, at the same time carry guns, and at the same time shoot and Twitter, absolutely impossible. And at the same time, we had a...
So why would they allow a jihad false flag? And to be clear...
Because there's one issue that you have brought out repeatedly and correctly, and that was the Sandy Hook issue transposes everything we have here, and that is gun control for Obama. His last wish and dying wish, may well be dying wish, is that we have a gun control in the United States. That is not going to happen. And at the same time, he has really committed criminal acts against the United States with the help, once again, of our CIA, our intelligence community, and other elements of our government.
Well, let me expand on that, I've sent Joe Biggs to a bunch of these. He never thinks they're a false flag. He's a combat vet, smart guy. He says because of the drill at the same time. He says because of the tweeting while the killing's going on. He says because of the drill at the exact same time and other things. He bare minimum thinks that they had warned people locally. They were ready. not that they were involved, but that higher-ups opened the door to make sure it went ahead and happened. They gave them the passport. They gave them, they let her back in with a, you know, fake address and fake info. So bare minimum, they were being protected. So that is a stage one, partial false flag,
well,
bare minimum.
And if I can say anything to your audience, we do not have 1 year left to live out this administration.
Stop right there. Steve, I want you to, because I skipped this break, it's so important. I want you to flesh out, because a lot of people say, and Trump said, well, you know, it'll make him a martyr politically if we go after him. He's in so much trouble. You know, I don't know if we have time in the next year, but my concern is the way Obama's acting, the way his people are acting, the way they're getting really nasty and really making more and more stuff up, they're acting like they're getting ready to move against the American people. And so if you agree with that, I'd like to know what you think we should be watching out for, what they might pull.
Well, what I agree with is that he is out of control, and he's fronting for an organization that's consisting of the Pritzkers, the Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, who, by the way, was being prosecuted for incompetency, lying, and distortion, even by the New York Times. And what we had was a distraction in San Bernardino from his good friend and buddy from childhood, Rahm Emanuel, and the Chicago mob. And that's part of what San Bernardino was about, was to take away the attention when the New York Times asked for the resignation of Rahm Emanuel and the entire government of Chicago. So what we expect to have is more denial, more crimes, and more distortions of the truth. What we need to do is to initiate a referendum where we will ask the president to step down. I do not want an assassination. What I want is a referendum where the people say we can no longer wait for a year. We do not want anyone else, and we will want to nominate by choice Trump. And either we have the elections now or we don't have the elections. We do not have one more year. And all this nonsense that's going on where ISIS is supposedly creating terrorist attacks all over the world, which they're not, quite frankly. You've got to remember the two leaders of ISIS, the Seoul and the military arm, were both in our prisons in Baghdad for over 8 months. And if anybody in your audience believes that we in the military or in the intelligence community didn't double up these guys, and ISIS should know this, and every Sunni...
They would have never been released. They would have been given acid baths if they weren't double agents.
They are double agents for us. So anybody who follows these fools knows that they're following CIA and military intelligence operatives who've been doubled by us easily, and then we create the false flags, the false enemies, which basically we claim are Muslims. The Muslims are not our enemies. They are the enemies, perhaps, of Israel, who has a problem with their survival, but we are not.
Well, I'll say this. Obviously, Wahhabis being brought in is meant for there to be attacks, so the government's bringing them in. They are, at the top of the food chain, guilty.
Let me be very frank. In my business, and they know this from my past experiences, it's easy for me to take out the Wahhabis and the Salafis in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. That's the easiest work I can do. But fortunately, they're not letting me or others do that kind of work because they're easy to neutralize the way they were neutralized in other countries and other worlds, which I was involved with. But unfortunately, our government is involved in creating these episodes, like Bush Sr. was involved in allowing Noriega to start agitation propaganda. Why? Because he wanted an excuse to send in the 82nd
Air Force. Well, absolutely, but here's my question. I think they've misjudged the calculus to be able to bring in radical jihadis, have them attack us, and then take our guns and restrict internet free speech as Hillary's trying to do. I see how they brought them in to let them do it. I get it's a false flag ultimately because they brought them in.
Correct.
I just don't see how they think they'll get away with that.
Well, let me put this one. I really have to look back at San Bernardino, and you look at Como, the interviewer, the newspaper, CBS or ABC, where he asked the lawyer, there are many holes in this story. Number one, both the husband and wife were handcuffed. Number two, they were able to Twitter while they were shooting. Number three, you know, you have a high military operation where even if you were a black widow, you couldn't be trained in this, particularly if you're 90 pounds. And the other man had no idea of how to deal with military capacity. But there was a third man who nobody talked about. My point to you is this is consistent with Sandy Hook. Once you have lied, once you have contrived false scenarios,
just go all the way.
Continuously be a liar, and you will continuously be.
Well, there is some evidence that the husband and wife were decoys and there were other shooters, and that's usually how you do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That's exactly what I must have. But the issue isn't this. The issue is much greater. Can we continue with a criminal like Obama?
Of course, in other news, the climate talks are going on in Paris, and not to be outdone, Bernie Sanders wants to go farther than anyone in terms of pushing us into global socialism. He urges a carbon tax and deeper emission cuts in his climate plan. He's trying to upstage rivals Hillary Clinton and Martin O'Malley. He's released a 16-page plan. He wants to go even further than Obama. He wants to have 40% cut in carbon emissions by 2030, a giant carbon tax, big investments in energy-saving technologies and renewable power sources. Hey, Bernie, what you're talking about is crony climatism. It's the same as crony capitalism, except these people are too green to fail. Same type of thing going on. And you need to understand as well that the places where they know socialism the best, they have rejected it the hardest. Latest case in point, Venezuela, where after two decades of dominance by socialists, they've now been turned out. What did the two decades of socialists give them? A 10% shrinking GDP, 6% projected downturn in 2016, 18% unemployment. An alliance of centrist and conservative parties have thrown them out. And one of the things they're going to do is free the political prisoners. How's that for free speech? Stay with us when we come back. We're going to have more climate news. We'll be right back.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary for President! Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Science is a belief in the ignorance of the experts. Let me repeat that. Science is a belief in the ignorance of the experts. And yet the way climate change is being sold to us is on the basis of authority. Trust these people. They're scientists. They have PhDs, so forth. The person who said that was Richard Feynman, a true scientist, a nuclear physicist, one of the people involved in the creation of the nuclear bomb. Also a pioneer in quantum mechanics, but we don't see this in Paris. We're not seeing real science. Look at this article here. Activists demand the UN revoke credentials of climate deniers in Paris. They don't agree with you. They don't want you to even speak. You should be censored, okay? No skepticism, but censorship. That is not science. And look who they're doing here. Look at that picture. That's Mark Morano of Climate Depot. He's going to be our guest tomorrow on the Alex Jones radio show. He's going to be talking about a film that he'll be premiering in Paris. I think it premieres today. He's going to talk to us about the premiere of it, Climate Hustle. In it, you'll see scientists, real scientists, who looked at the evidence and said, you know what, I don't believe global warming. They came out initially, many of them, and said, okay, I'll accept it. I hear these people, they're authorities on this. When they looked at the evidence, they said, no, ain't happening. Not only that, but we may have to shut down the BBC. This article here, carbon emissions to stall or even decline this year. This appeared on the BBC. Global emissions of carbon dioxide are likely to stall, even decline slightly this year, say new data. Researchers say the first time this has happened while the global economy has continued to grow. Absolutely amazing. Now, as we began the program, we talked about Pearl Harbor. We talked about the provocation of FDR to the Japanese, to the Germans. Talked about how he stood down, how he invited the attack, how he then used that attack for his own political purposes and for the purposes of the military-industrial complex. What does that look like today? Here's that report.
Last night, on my orders, America's armed forces began strikes against ISIL targets in Syria.
U.S. counterterrorism officials asking, why are ISIS fighters driving so many similar trucks, and where are they getting them from?
How do we know that the arms that are going to the Syrian rebels are not going to get into the hands of ISIS?
Because if we had people who could were there to funnel it to the right people, and I know these people, and I know who they are, and I know how to do it, and so do other people.
You are basically saying that even in government at the time, you knew those groups were around, you saw this analysis,
sure.
And you were arguing against it, but who wasn't listening?
I think the administration.
In an interview with the New Yorker magazine, he compares groups linked to Al-Qaeda to an amateur basketball team.
Intelligence officials in Pakistan say a local commander from the terrorist network Islamic State has admitted receiving funds transferred via the U.S. He made the confession while being interrogated.
Today we learned that the same group may now be in possession of a deadly cache of American-made firepower, Stinger missiles.
Do you think it was a willful decision?
A willful decision to go support an insurgency that had Salafist, Al-Qaeda,
well,
and Muslim Brotherhood.
A willful decision to do what they're doing, which you'd have to really ask the president. What is it that he actually is doing?
As I've said before, this aspect of our strategy was moving too slowly, but the fall of Ramadi has galvanized the Iraqi government. So with the additional steps I ordered last month, we're speeding up training of ISIL forces, including volunteers from Sunni tribes in Anbar province.
Now, U.S. military aircraft have dropped ammunition in areas held by ISIL terror group in Iraq. According to volunteer forces who are fighting the terrorists, American helicopters dropped boxes of weapons in Yathrib and Balad districts in the Salahuddin province.
We now hear that President Obama will ask Congress for $5.3 billion to equip and train Iraqi soldiers and quote-unquote moderate Syrian rebels to fight the Islamic State militants.
Reports say the U.S. military has airdropped weapons for the ISIL on several occasions.
Last month, I ordered our military to take targeted action against ISIL to stop its advances.
Do you know that he made the Air Force drop leaflets telling the ISIS truck drivers to get out that bombs were going to fall? Did you know that? Does anyone know that he did that? This is going to make people think twice about this guy. This is not as clear as it may be of he's just a pacifist or a liberal. There's something more here, Donald.
And it's been more than a year now. ISIS's capabilities seem to be expanding. Were you aware that they had the capability of pulling off the kind of attack that they did in Paris? Are you concerned, and do you think they have that same capability to strike in the United States?
The unclassified reports have estimated that in just the first 12 months of renewed ISIS operations in Syria and Iraq, they've recruited more than 22,000 foreign fighters. At least 4,000 are Westerners. So those are Americans, Brits, French citizens, German citizens.
It was very disturbing to pull this from the UN website in September that says of the 381,412 arrivals that came across the Mediterranean Sea, this year, up to September, that 15% were children, 13% were women, and 72% were men.
Such a backlash against Syrian refugees coming to the United States after the word that some of these attackers may have passed through Syria. 31 governors now say they don't want them living in their states. Many presidential candidates calling for a ban or religious tests. Congress moving for a moratorium on new refugees.
They point out there's an extensive vetting process that includes the intelligence community, the Departments of State and Homeland Security.
We don't have the systems in place on the ground to collect the information to vet. That would be the concern.
Yes, I think that's the challenge we're all talking about, is that we can only query against that which we have collected.
You can't account for what you don't know, and that goes to the intelligence deficit that I think is embedded in your question.
There's alarm in Europe over allegations that Islamic State militants are infiltrating the continent by blending with crowds of migrants.
But apparently they're scared of widows and orphans coming into the United States of America as part of our tradition of compassion.
It's a terror threat unlike any Europe or the U.S. has seen before. It's the ultimate stealth weapon for ISIS.
A female suicide bomber is like a stealth precision weapon.
Stealth precision weapon, Brian, and this is a major change in strategy.
We do not close our hearts to these victims of such violence and somehow start equating the issue of refugees with the issue of terrorism.
Extraordinary pictures. It follows confirmation, as Tom Stivert reported, of the death of the mastermind behind those attacks.
Thanks to our military and counterterrorism professionals, America is safer.
Been reaching out to various countries that have been fighting ISIS in Syria and Iraq, urging followers to attack in their home country.
The FBI is still gathering the facts about what happened in San Bernardino, but here's what we know. The victims were brutally murdered and injured by one of their co-workers and his wife. So far, we have no evidence that the killers were directed by a terrorist organization overseas or that they were part of a broader conspiracy here at home.
Because we have the clearest indication yet that that shooting rampage 2 days ago in San Bernardino, California, was an act of terror inspired by ISIS.
New details about the couple involved in that deadly San Bernardino mass shooting, including a statement of support for ISIS by the female shooter, Tashfeen Malik.
We may have somebody who comes to us and is simply not on our radar for any discernible reason. And there may also be the possibility that somebody decides to do something bad after they've been admitted through the process.
But his wife, Tashfeen Malik, she came here on a special visa for fiancés of American citizens. How much screening did she get? Any idea the number of people who come in on these fiancé visas a year?
I don't know the exact number, but I think this past year it's somewhere around 35,000.
But apparently they're scared of widows and orphans.
ISIS has been a main concern of the U.S. through just this sort of radicalization. Not directed plots, but people who follow ISIS propaganda through their relentless outpouring of propaganda around the world every day.
In June 2015, Iraqi officials reported that as many as 500 children were kidnapped by ISIS to serve as suicide bombers and child soldiers.
Anybody who had a chance to see those kids? Hopefully you understood the degree to which they're just like our kids.
New Islamic State video shows boy soldier execute two alleged Russian spies.
Long way from when you described them as a JV team. Was that bad intelligence misjudgment?
Keep in mind, I wasn't specifically referring to ISIL.
As I've said before, this aspect of our strategy was moving too slowly, but the fall of Ramadi has galvanized the Iraqi government. So with the additional steps I ordered last month, we're speeding up training of ISIL forces, including volunteers from Sunni tribes in Anbar province.
Well, that's it for tonight's news. Thank you for joining us. Join us again tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.